Hello and welcome to the live retail online integration webinar, Beyond Personalization, 5 Keys to Delivering One-to-One Marketing at Scale, sponsored by eBay Enterprise. I'm Jennifer DePasquale, publisher of ROI and the host of today's event. We all know that personalization and relevancy are crucial to driving campaign performance in the age of big data. But for many marketers, the time and budget required to efficiently collect, analyze, and act on resulting insights is a major barrier to entry. In today's webinar, we'll discuss how savvy marketers can deliver true one-to-one marketing at a massive scale. Before we get started, I'd like to point out a few quick tips on how to make the most of today's live webinar. First, if you have any technical difficulties, troubleshoot by clicking on the Help widget at the bottom of your console marked with a question mark, or let us know via the Q&A box. You can also use the Q&A box to submit your question to today's panelist, and we'll be addressing select questions at the end of the hour, but you can send them in at any time during the presentation. Please also turn off any pop-up blockers on your computer so that you can utilize all the widgets at the bottom of this console. Your console is interactive. You can click on the Tips for Attendees widget below to learn how you can customize your experience today. I would like to introduce our speaker here today to discuss 5 keys to delivering one-to-one marketing. We have Mark Fleischacker, Head of Products, eBay Enterprise Marketing Solutions. Mark is responsible for the design and development of new marketing, analytics, and mobile solutions that serve large enterprise and mid-market firms' relentless quest to acquire and retain customers. Mark has spent the better part of his 30 years as a professional in the marketing industry, and we are certainly happy to have him here today. Mark, I'm going to kick it off to you and get us started.
Great. Thank you so much, ROI and Jennifer. It's a real pleasure to have the opportunity to share with all the attendees today. And I also definitely look forward to having the chance to respond to your questions, so don't be shy in considering what type of dialogue you want to have as we get through the presentation. My goal today is to give you a brief overview of what eBay Enterprise is, probably the least well-known part of eBay, and then to focus on the challenges we see in the marketing world, especially when it comes to online and retail marketing, to talk about a pretty intensive research process that we went through at eBay Enterprise to understand the market, and how that turned into a very exciting new platform of products that we're bringing to market known as the Commerce Marketing Platform, which I will dig into at the back half of this presentation. But starting out with eBay, everybody knows eBay is that great place to buy and sell things. Very few people realize that actually 78% of everything that's sold on eBay is a brand new product, but hence the power of a brand that's become a legacy in our industry. But eBay Corporation today is made up of 3 companies. eBay Marketplaces, as we like to call it, the place where people buy and sell. PayPal, where people pay in all kinds of forms and methods, and eBay Enterprise, which has been part of the eBay family now for 3-plus years. At eBay Enterprise, we focus on providing what many people refer to as soup to nuts or A to Z solutions for companies that want to outsource part or all of their online and offline retail and e-tail marketing. I'm in charge of products for the marketing solutions part of the business, and that's what we're going to be talking about today, and the challenges our clients face and what we do to help them solve for them. But we are a full-service marketing solutions company. We have products that I'll be focusing on, but we also have service. So we provide strategy, we do creative work, we plan and buy media and do analysis like many marketing services providers. We have access to our clients' first-party data. We access third-party data. We manage robustly and with great rigor performance data. And I'll be talking about later in our presentation today the fact that we also have a very rich set of first-party data that's accessible only through clients who do business with eBay Enterprise. And then we have solutions or products that touch all the various channels that marketers need to drive demand and get people to do what we all want people to do, which is to buy more products and services from them. So I'm not going to dwell anymore on the background of eBay Enterprise. We have a website, and you can contact us if you're interested in that. But let's really get to the analysis we did and start with a fairly global view of what's going on in the world. We asked some big questions, and we asked these questions to large enterprise marketers and mid-market enterprise mid-market marketers. We did not go to the quote-unquote ma and pa managing a small business out of your backyard type companies, but we did do a very significant set of research going back to 2013 to try to understand what the needs are in the market. And we learned a lot of things that we believe are common problems for many of us, and I'm assuming that these are going to resonate for most of you, and I'll be curious to learn if they don't, because we're always trying to learn more, even as we talk about our solutions. Starting with probably the biggest problem is it's just hard to reach customers. There's so much clutter. The world isn't only Times Square, as we see in the slide, but between our mobile phones, our tablets, our phablets, our televisions, all of the media that still arrives through our mailbox, and every other channel that's constantly invading our eyes and ears and most of our senses these days, and for those people who've chosen Google Glass, another form of invasion, it's just really hard to get to customers. And the vast majority of money spent in marketing these days is, frankly, wasted. It's not reaching customers. And so the question we hear all the time from our clients is, how do you break through that clutter? And we know it's not easy. If it's not easy, it gets even harder in that there's so much competition. And we know that there's all kinds of competitors. It's the small innovative companies in our neighborhood, but it's also very large competitors. I was recently in Seattle at the shop.org conference, an ironic place, I think, to have a retail conference, considering that the single company that's probably killing more retailers finds its headquarters up there, a company that begins with an A and resembles a rainforest. But nevertheless, we talked with thousands of companies over 3 days and interviewed many and got questionnaires out, and they all talk about the fact that how the competition doesn't end. It's competition on price. It's competition for customers. It's competition online and offline. It's hard, and we recognize that this is a big challenge, and we're here to hopefully help customers, whether they be large enterprise or mid-market companies, solve for that. And there's a lot of questions they're asking that because of digital media, things have changed, and the way we used to do things is just frankly quite different than it used to be. We used to talk a lot about segmentation. We used to say, if I could just figure out what that small percentage of my customers that makes the difference is, I can then go and really tailor my marketing program. I can figure out who are the famous 20% of my customers that drive 80% of my revenue. A statistic that still, generally speaking, holds true today, even though it was first thought up by a gentleman named Vilfredo Pareto in 1896 in the Ticino region of Switzerland. He basically already understood one of the key principles of marketing so long ago. But is segmentation really still valid? In a world where the cost of computing is getting lower every year, data storage has become almost meaningless from a cost perspective, do we still really need to put customers into segments, or have we now entered into the world of one-to-one marketing where we can treat each individual in a distinct manner? And if that's not a hard enough question to answer, what about the fact that everybody now acts like my teenage children? They need it now. They need it real time. They've got a phone. They can look up a price. They can share what they want with their friends. They can make purchasing decisions wherever they are, whenever they want. And how do you satisfy those people? We hear about the world real time all the time. But what does that really mean? And should companies be actually deploying technology that enables real-time marketing? Because as much as it's easy to say, it's not so easy to do. If that's not challenging enough, then you have the problem with how do you make your way, how do you navigate through this world? Whether these are teenagers or adults who just find the fact that they can solve for their desires so quickly, it remains very challenging to be fast enough to respond to customers' needs and to be precise enough. And we all live as marketers with the fear that, oh my God, if I don't do something right away, I'm going to lose this sale. Even though we have to remember that sometimes it's not doing something right away, it's doing something at the right time, which may not be immediately. But how do you determine what the right time is? And how do you do that precisely without tons of expensive labor? These are hard problems, and they're not going away. If that's not a big enough challenge, we ask our clients all the time, how are you determining what the right channels are? And what's the right merchandise to propose to your clients? What is the right content to put in front of them to get them to ultimately do what we all want them to do, which is buy more things? There are just so many variables. How do you determine the right combination? It's far bigger challenge than any single human mind can take on. So, of course, we have to bring technology. So these are very big problems. They're not easy challenges to solve for. And, of course, we're blessed with the fact that the pundits, whether it's the Wall Street Journal or the next issue of whichever magazine we read in the industry, is telling us, but there's a solution out there. You can solve for these things easily. All you need is big data. But is this the new oil? If I had a dime for every time somebody said, we have a system that leverages big data, I think I'd be a wealthy man. We didn't talk about big data 5 years ago, and now we've talked about it to the point where it's become almost abused. I mean, is big data really the way that companies, large and small, should be solving their marketing problems? Or is it something more like the snake oil of the 1800s and the aluminum siding, of the 1960s? Data can be a very, very powerful part of your marketing strategy. But what we've learned is if it's not properly managed, it also can just glue up the works and get sticky and sludgy. So it's very challenging just to say, I need more data, because data that's collected and gathered without a very clear sense of what you're going to do with it ultimately just hangs around and gets stale. And in a real-time 24/7 marketing world, the speed with which data grows stale is faster and faster. And so that's a big challenge for our clients. The question that then arises as we talk to companies about bringing out something that we'll be talking about, the commerce marketing platform, is why is eBay doing this? Yeah, we know eBay has technology, and whether it's the online platform or your payments platform with PayPal, why are you taking on these big software guys and launching a whole new platform? Why would eBay be doing that, and why do you think you're going to be better at it or provide a value that the others cannot? And it's a very valid question. We thought long and hard about whether this was the best approach to enable our customers to be more successful, whether they were trying to be more competitive in their local markets or fight that big, ugly, difficult to compete with company based up in Seattle. It's not easy to make a commitment such as the one we've made to build a new software platform to let companies be more effective at marketing. But why did we do it? In short, we did it because we think there's a better way. And we felt we owed it to our customers to give them the tools they need to really be successful in this ultra-competitive world of digital marketing, extending from stores physically in your neighborhood to large warehouses to online marketing. People really have to understand that marketing in this world requires a specialty set of skills and tools. And that's why we decided to build what we're calling the Commerce Marketing Platform. And so today I'm going to take you through what we're calling the five keys to delivering one-to-one marketing at scale. And I'm going to do this giving you a few examples, and then we'll have a chance to answer questions. There are lots of rules one can create, and we don't want to imply that there are only five and just these five, but we think these are the five most important. And as we work with our clients, whether they be less sophisticated or extremely sophisticated clients, we still apply these five principles day in and day out. And we're also applying these five principles to how we actually develop and deliver software applications to our clients so they can be more effective at their marketing. And as it says on the slide in front of you, it starts with understanding the value of each step in the customer journey. So many times when we meet with companies, they tell us, well, here's my email department. Here's my display advertising department. Here's my in-store advertising department. Here's my CRM department, et cetera, et cetera. Or here's my analytics department. And the problem with that approach is that it pretends that the world still acts in that siloed, very separate way. But we know consumers, and we all need to remember we're all consumers as well, we don't act that way anymore. We're constantly moving from one device to another. We're constantly jumping in and out of websites. We're constantly using our smartphones in ways that today we take for granted, but yesterday or just a few years ago seemed impossible. So if you want to really market effectively to customers, then you have to understand where value is created and where it's not. Because if not, you just run out of marketing dollars. Whether that's paid marketing dollars or whether that's actually just creating content, we know it's expensive. So we like to focus, as it says in number two, on what really drives the transaction. What makes the cash register go ka-ching? If you understand what drives to that, you're going to be more efficient with your marketing spend. We're going to be talking about something called the four axes of optimization and how it's really important to focus on them. More to come. We're going to talk about how important it is to understand what's going on. And we call it real-time understanding and decision-making. Doesn't mean you always have to act in real-time, but we believe strongly you need to know in real-time. And last but not least, perhaps the holy grail, the most important thing you can do, and certainly at the end of the day, the most difficult thing to do, is to find insights that differentiate how you interact with your customers in such a way that you have a competitive advantage. So let's jump into these five things. The first is understanding the value of each step in the customer journey. I just can't emphasize enough that this is a new skill set. We didn't have the technology to do this just a few years ago, and we certainly don't have the mindset in many companies today to think about customers holistically and not set up those independent departments that I was referring to just a few minutes ago. So let's look at an example, some data-driven examples that we got from our research. Here we see that device switching is now the new normal. In fact, 64% of shoppers switched when evaluating and purchasing an item. So already two-thirds, roughly, of the market are not making a purchasing decision on the same device with which they start an exploration or a decision-making process. And so we know this isn't going away. We get new phones. We get new tablets. We have new computers. The devices that Apple or and others are selling seem to be doing very well if we look at their earnings reports. And so this has all become secondhand for all of us. But it makes it very hard to optimize a shopping experience when the format of the device itself is changing. Whether that's the device people are using in stores to look up prices and decide whether they want to buy something by seeing if the price they see in the store is well-priced, or whether that's the device they're using at home or at work, this world of multiple devices is not going away, and we have to accept that we need to be developing content that works on multiple devices, and we have to be developing methods to understand the specific device that's being used at any given point in time so that the content we deliver to that device is optimized. The message you send to a phone is going to be very different than the message you send to a large desktop computer. And the message you send to a tablet may vary as depending upon the size of that tablet. These things are probably now intuitive to all of us, but how do you actually manage this process in a way that doesn't break the bank? That's some of the things we're going to be talking about. So that's a very important point to keep in mind. The next point we learned from our research is that basically now close to two-thirds of shoppers start browsing for an item with their mobile device. How different is this than just a few years ago? So this is now de facto what people reach for because it's proximity. The phone, the tablet, the phablet, as many of these larger phones are now referred to, is always just a reach away. The convenience factor means that the form factor is big enough that people are going to start learning about products on screens that just a few years ago we would have defined as too small to be optimum for purchasing. In fact, we've learned that while people begin doing research on certain smaller devices, the likelihood of a purchase actually occurring is much greater the larger the screen. Tablets are pretty good for shopping. Smaller phones are usually for browsing. And so we need to, again, recognize that we live in a mobile-first world. many of us who've been in marketing for a while joke about how every year we say this is the year of mobile. I'd say this year I haven't heard people say it, which means probably we've accepted that mobile is, by its very definition, ubiquitous, and therefore we no longer have to have a year of mobile. We are simply mobile. Third point we like to talk about is, well, second, excuse me, is focusing on transactions and their value. This is easy to say, but if you talk with your agency, if you have one, if you read the next greatest book on marketing, we still hear a lot about a process that goes from awareness of a brand or a product to engagement with that brand or a product all the way to the transaction. Those things still occur, of course. In fact, if we look at corporate organizations, it used to be that there was kind of a branding department in one corner of the building, and those people who really drove sales over in the other corner, they were kind of nasty and down and dirty, and were all interested in things that weren't nearly as ethereal as brands and positioning and image. Well, that day is over, because the speed with which a customer can become aware of a brand, interact with the content available about that brand, and make a purchasing decision is simply dependent upon their internet connection. And so you have to bring those things together. But ultimately, you don't put awareness of a brand in the bank. You don't even put engagement with content in a bank. You put money in a bank, and you have to follow the money, as they say on every crime show. You've got to know what drove the person to make the purchase, because it's simply too cost inefficient to do otherwise. So this focus doesn't go away. In fact, we believe nowadays that the marketers who embrace this, who say, guess what, I not only need to focus on what makes the cash register ring, if I embrace it as a marketer in my company, I'm going to become the hero. I'm the one who's going to really know what the value is of what we're doing. The CFO might want to talk to me. But scrutiny comes with that. There's no place to hide. The genie's out of the bottle. So that's something we can either accept, but there's no place to run away. And frankly, in a recent Forrester study of CMOs, we saw that 54% of them have marketing goals or objectives directly aligned to revenue targets, not awareness, not engagement. 54% tied to revenue, 16% tied to meeting profit targets, and 13% to increasing shareholder value. Perhaps a harder thing to attribute directly to a marketing activity, but nevertheless, the world of measurable scrutiny is here, and it's not going away. This means you have to live in a world where you focus on year-on-year comps every day, that the consideration period for purchase by customers is short, and hence your time to act is short, and that behaviors change. And you have to understand that how people act in November and on Cyber Monday and Black Friday is fundamentally different than how they act in July and March and other parts of the year. And if you don't understand how to tailor your marketing efforts to this measurable world, well, frankly, you'll be less successful than the competitors who do. So it's a relentless focus on transactions and their value. We have no choice. We have to follow the money. We talked about earlier, I said, recognize the four axes of optimization. And we've been preaching this for some time, and it's conceptually straightforward. This respects the fact that there's so much data available nowadays that we can simply use math to answer not all, but a lot of the questions that we want to answer if we're going to be marketing intelligently and using the right tool. So if you can determine the value of your customers, which for years we used to call direct marketing and then database marketing, and now still sometimes we refer to it as CRM, that's critical, which customers deliver what value. We can now, thanks to tools we have, such as attribution, which we'll talk about in a minute, understand not only the value of each individual channel in driving a transaction, but we can look at the relative value of those channels since they interplay with one another. And if we use methodologies from simple A-B testing to more complex content optimization technologies, we can actually determine what types of offers, which are one form of content, and what kind of editorial or photographic content to present to a customer to incite them to take the next step, to make a purchase. And then we have to understand how these three key variables interact over time. It's conceptually straightforward. We're not trying to say it's easy, but the concept is pretty much that. And so as we look at these axes of optimization, let's have a little bit deeper look at where to focus, because not all things are created equal, and not all customers are created equal. Something we believe very strongly at eBay is that addressable media will still drive the lion's share of profits for our clients as they interact with their customers. And let's be precise about what addressable media are. Addressable media means that you are able to interact with your customers in a named way. It means you have their name, or at least their phone number, or at least their email address, and perhaps their home or work physical address. Ideally, you'd have one or two or more of those items and two or more of those pieces of information to get an increasingly clear picture of a customer. But the real reason they'll drive the day and really deliver the profits is customers don't have to give you this information. When they transact with you, when they register for an email, when they register for a personalized website experience, when they fill out a postcard at the point of sale in a store, they're making a conscious choice. They're saying, it's okay, brand, to have a dialogue with me. And the brands customers choose relative to the brands they ignore is a very, very, very small subset of that which they can choose from. So when customers choose to have a relationship with you, ideally demonstrated by purchasing your products, you need to seize that opportunity to treat them in a very special way. That doesn't mean filling up their email inbox with so many emails that they regret ever having given you their email address, but it does mean striving to be increasingly relevant and useful to those customers. And in many respects, we are starting to see privacy legislation. In other cases, it's just industry practice. But unless customers choose, and we have to recognize that customers are in charge, to have a relationship with your brand, then they're choosing not to. And we have to take those customers who've made that choice and treat them with excellence and dignity, and most importantly, drive relevant content to them so that they buy more products and services from you, which is everyone's goal. So really key to focus in those areas. We talk about real-time understanding and decision-making. And again, I don't want to say that we always have to act in real-time, but we have to know in real-time. A great example is the cruise industry. A loyal customer to the cruise industry will take a cruise, by definition, once every 3 years. So arguably, after a cruise is complete, we probably don't need to email them three times a week, which is what some retailers do with their customers. But we have to know what their decision-making cycle is. We may need to be asking customers, when do you want to communicate with us? What's comfortable for you? And we want to remain relevant to them over what is a relatively long period of time. On the other hand, at certain times of the year in certain categories, you might be emailing a customer once or twice a day to letting them know about hourly or daily specials. So understanding real time is critical, making the right decisions based upon the data you have, but it doesn't mean that we're always communicating in real time. It's very hard to understand which levers to pull, and that's why we have a firm belief that attribution is table stakes for marketers. And what this means is we're telling our clients that they have to know the relative value of each of the marketing channels they use. And this is not easy. It requires sophisticated statistical models. It involves things such as weighted analysis. And it involves collecting a quantity of data that up until a few years ago was technologically impossible, except for the very largest computers and companies. But we now have, along with some other excellent companies, great attribution product in the marketplace, and we'll be talking about that briefly. But we encourage customers every day, know which channels are working for you in proportion. It's not about last click. Last click is just, frankly, we like to refer to it as the last click reality distortion field. And let's look at this a little bit more closely. So hopefully you can see this chart, but 50% of the purchases that occur involve more than one touch point. And we've got literally billions of data points that we can prove this out with. We know that the average number of points is 3.8. 3.8 different channels or points of contact with digital media, and now with our revised enhanced tools, even offline media, before someone makes a decision to purchase. We know that you lose somewhere around 90% of the impressions and understanding of a customer in their journey if you rely solely on last click. And if you do use this purchase path analysis that we provide and others, you're going to have a 14% increase in average order value. These are huge, fundamentally game-changing data points, and you just have to be finding a way to use attribution in your marketing decisioning. Media is too expensive not to, and if you don't take that approach, you're going to be losing a huge opportunity to put value, as we said earlier, against each point in the purchase path. And so what you see in front of you here is a concept that we introduced to the market a number of years ago, saying which media or channels act as the introducer, what are the influencers, and what are the closers. And when you know which media act in those different ways, it helps you understand how to tailor your content to drive the best, most optimized outcome. It's very important to be thinking this way because we all know how expensive media is, and it's not getting cheaper. And if it is getting cheaper, it's only because it's remnant, less effective media. The fifth point, I referred to it earlier, is to enable the pursuit of differentiated insights, the holy grail. And despite the serene photo here, our point is this. We live in a world where everyone can copy everyone. And today's really innovative product or service becomes tomorrow's commodity. Our clients, all of you, we are sure, need to be able to know something about your customers that your competitors don't. You need to gain or develop an insight before someone else does and do something about it. And you can't leave this to chance. And what that means is you have to develop or deploy technology that enables you to do that. And that's not easy because there's so much big data out there. So as we think about how we can help customers achieve that objective, we decided to build a platform. Again, we call it the Commerce Marketing Platform, which relies on the power, and it is awesomely powerful, of both predictive analytics and rules-based decision-making. We talk about doing this at scale because the amounts of data out there are ominous, and analytics is not a fancy report. It's not what some people refer to as business intelligence. It's industrial strength. It is extremely important to have a cost-effective way of deploying analytics technology at scale so you can find those insights that others couldn't find, or you find them before others and act upon them. So we promised five key points in setting up this presentation, but it occurred to us as we were getting ready for today's webinar that there's really a sixth one that we had to share with you. And I can tell you from my 30-plus years of experience that Jennifer kindly referred to during her introduction that this is the mistake that I see more companies make for the duration of my career. And that is, let's go out and buy the technology before we figure out what we're going to do with it. To this day, we have conversations with clients who ask us things like, which analytics program do you need? Which database program do you need? What is our omnichannel messaging platform? They ask us this question before having discussed and shared with us what they're trying to achieve with their business. So I don't know what this photograph is of, but it's one of the largest of its kind I've ever seen. And sometimes we feel like our customers are trying to get one of those before they actually tell us what they want to do with it. And if you focus on customer experience first, and if you focus on understanding the value of the customer journey, you're going to probably right-size your technology choice. So let's talk briefly here for a few minutes about what we think some of the exciting technology choices you can be considering are. As we mentioned, and I gave away the punchline, it's called the Commerce Marketing Platform. And we're very, very excited that we're launching this to the market. It was announced just on the 15th of September, and we think this is a platform that really meets the needs of marketers who are focused on commerce based upon the guidelines we've shared with you today. In short, the Commerce Marketing Platform is 9 integrated applications. It provides solutions for each channel, which you can license separately. We know every company is at a different point in its decision-making process to use technology, and we respect that some people are looking for just a single tool, while others are looking for a comprehensive suite. Built into this tool is industry-leading, powerful analytics. It gives you access to a world of insight data that I'll tell you a little bit more about. And most importantly, we designed it from the ground up and built it for people interested in driving commerce. And so the Commerce Marketing Platform is made up of 9 applications. I'm going to share a few of them with you and start with what we think the most important one is, which is the Customer Engagement Engine. It sits at the center of our application suite. It provides, as the slide says, a single platform for all addressable media and channels. It extends beyond campaigns. Campaigns are a thing of the past. It enables you to plan and deliver content across the entire life cycle of a customer journey. And very importantly, it has analytics fully integrated into it. So we'll be talking in a minute about our audience insights engine and our optimization engine and the power of predictive analytics that I referred to earlier. This is all available directly through the customer engagement engine. And for those companies that want to link this powerful platform to third parties, and to other applications, we have a robust set of APIs to enable that. The next product I want to talk about is our attribution engine. I alluded to that earlier, and this is the product that enables marketers to truly understand the effectiveness of each channel and avoid the perils of the last click, that desert wasteland I referred to earlier. It quantifies for our clients the performance across channels and allows you to analyze both offline and online data. The exciting news is attribution has up until now been a way of reporting about media performance to understand what happened in these channels on a daily basis. But more excitingly, going forward, we're using those same data sets to enable clients who use our Media Planner tool to actually determine how to best allocate their media funds going forward. So instead of a highly informative report, which is, of course, very useful, we now have a tool that lets you plan your media spend looking forward and every day seeing the results as our software crunches these massive amounts of data to then optimize your media spend. In the old world, we used to get together 3 months after a campaign was done, look at a sample set of data, and complain about what we used to or should have or could have done differently. Now, we can make those decisions every day and maximize the value of the media spend. It's an entirely different way of working. The next thing I want to talk about is the Audience Insights Engine. It's here where we are able to bring together just about any data source our clients want to bring in. Ingest that data, whether it's first-party data such as your customer database, and third-party data, and then aggregate that data in a way that we can make sense of it. But it's also through this that we have access to the first-party, what we call commerce insights, that are available only through this platform, thanks to the fact that, yes, we are eBay, and we do business with hundreds of millions of customers through our platform. And it's a way of understanding not only the addressable media that I referred to earlier, but also targetable media, the world of cookies and device IDs that without a product like this remain anonymous. Some people refer to this type of platform as a DMP or data management platform, but it's a very, very powerful tool for delivering very amazing insights at scale. And here's just a sampling of them. So in 2013, we enabled over $212 billion of commerce, and that number is significantly larger already this year. We have between PayPal and eBay over 300 million active users. We have now, instead of 700 million that you see on the left-hand side of the page, 800 million products available. And similar to the data we saw in our earlier research, we see 59% of that commerce behavior occurring on multiple screens. What does that mean for you? Well, what it means is using the Audience Insights Engine product, you can learn about a lot of customers. We see match rates that are above 50% because our database reach is so vast. And when you can take those matches and deliver insights back to our clients so that they know more about their customers, well, then you start to take a very important step on that path of using differentiated insights. So it's a very, very powerful tool, and it's available one place. That access to those insights happens if you work with us at eBay. It's not available through a third party. The other product I want to talk about briefly is our optimization engine. This is a very unique product. We've built it in strategic partnership with FICO. Now, in North America, FICO is known primarily as that company that has the credit score, and they do in fact have a fantastic credit score built on the power of their analytics. But FICO is a world leader in applying the power of data and analytics to solve big business challenges. In fact, they have over 180 patents and another 80 or 90 pending, focused solely on analyzing data. And so we chose them very carefully as our strategic partner because we knew that when it comes to doing things like optimizing offers and optimizing content and determining the right choice of channel through which to deploy an offer or a message, that we needed to bring in the most qualified data science products and capabilities. And that's why we work with them. And their analytics and rules-based decisioning tools are integrated into our products. And so you don't have to go somewhere else to get this answer. You don't have to have a backroom operation. You don't have to bring in some special data feed. This is all integrated into our product suite. And what does that mean? Well, I like to refer to it as analytics with a true capital A. This platform can build 2,000 time-sensitive predictive models using more than 24 months of consumer transactional behavior in less than 2 weeks. The old school way was you had a couple of really smart guys building a model sitting in a cube for a few weeks, and then they might build another one. But with machine learning and with the power of FICO's technology, you can see we're talking about thousands of models. And then we can define the right offer decisions, what offer to put in front of a customer so you don't leave money on the table, so that you entice that customer to make the purchase decision you want to them, and build models for tens of millions of customers against thousands of offers in less than 6 hours. And then your preparation work's done. You can update these models quarterly, monthly, depending upon where it creates the most value. But then you're sitting there, the trigger loaded, ready to deliver the smart, the best content, the best channel decision, and make those decisions against thousands of models in milliseconds. That's as close to real time as you can get. That's not reporting. That's analytics. And that's integrated with our products. So we like to tell people that to do all this, and I got back to my point about technology, you need a single platform. You need to be able to plan, manage, optimize, and measure. And this is absolutely critical. The customers, as we said, are jumping in and out of channels. We firmly believe that the only way for us to get our arms around this very challenging, dynamic situation where customers are truly in charge is by deploying a single platform. We recognize that can't happen overnight, that companies go through a migration and an evolution process, and that's fine. But whether it's with us or some of our worthy competitors, we just urge marketers, get a central point of reference in managing your customers. Focus on optimizing and making sure that you can manage this 24/7 reality of channel switching, device hopping, ever-inquiring, ultimate-demanding customers, and do it from a place where you can really get your arms around the entire customer journey and do so with great capabilities of analyzing and optimizing data and finding insights that can give you a strategic difference in the market. So that's the end of the formal part of this presentation. I'm delighted to turn the speaker back over to Jennifer, and we can take on some questions.
Thanks, Mark. Great presentation. We're hearing lots of good comments from our listeners. And I do want to take some questions before we run out of time. So feel free to send those in. And FYI, this will be available on demand for 90 days, too, if you want to share this with some of your colleagues. The first question I want to dive into is, do you have some examples of how to access data in real time that can either help drive sales or reduce costs?
Well, it's easier to focus on driving sales, which, given that smart marketers are seeking to drive sales with a finite budget, ultimately, the more sales you drive, the more you're going to reduce the fixed costs of your marketing budget. And I like to tell people that the one thing every marketer in the world has in common, whether they're selling ball bearings or cocktail dresses or cool sports watches or semiconductors, is that they all complain that their budget's too small. And they may all be right. So how do you use those budgets, which are always too small, to drive the most amount of sales and get the biggest bang for your buck? Well, the slide in front of you shows the customer engagement engine at the center. And we believe unabashedly that you need to place the customer at the center, and you need to place the customer database and that potential reservoir of data at the center of your marketing experience. The more you know about your friends, the better friendships you'll have. And the more you know about your customers, the better you'll be able to serve them. Being relevant to a customer is everything for a marketer. Sometimes relevancy is knowing what they need, and sometimes knowing what they need is can even be to be left alone. But if you don't know to leave them alone, you're fishing in the dark. So the best way to drive sales and lower your marketing costs is to constantly enhance your understanding of a customer. And then once the data set gets large, which for most mid and large enterprises, that's very quickly, you need to bring in these cost-effective analytics tools so that you can really scale the way you optimize content and optimize offers and choose the right channels for them.
Okay, great. Another question, and I know you touched on this on your presentation, in terms of why you folks, obviously you guys are a leader in the e-commerce space, why did you decide to build this? In other words, what were retailers asking for that you thought you could deliver in a better way?
The biggest ask we have from customers is we want to know more about our clients. And you have this vast universe of data. Can you use that data to help us know more? So I think a lot of marketers have become increasingly wise and informed, and we refer to it as differentiated insights. But forgetting the jargon, they want to know more about their customers for the reasons we've touched on in different ways. And so we started asking ourselves the question, how do we deploy that data while always respecting privacy and always respecting the choice of our customers? And we realized that to do it effectively really required a comprehensive suite of tools. Now, we owned a number of marketing products, whether they were in the affiliate space, the email space, the attribution space. These acquisitions had occurred over the last 5 to 7 years. But what we hadn't done is brought them together in a holistic offering that made it easy to get one's arms around it. So it was really, we have an asset. We, like all companies, seek to grow. We have a commitment, a fundamental, unwavering commitment to help merchants, large and small, compete in this very competitive marketplace. And the only way we could do that successfully was by creating tools that let them utilize data, theirs and ours, so that they could make the success. So it just seemed a natural fit for us.
Okay, great. We have a question coming in from Brad. Does the platform provide attribution for non-digital media information and how it correlates to brick-and-mortar retail sales, or is that all e-commerce?
We believe that commerce extends beyond the E. As critical and central as e-commerce is to the growing part of the retail equation, our attribution platform lets you ingest offline data and attribute it. We don't do attribution today for television and print type of media, but we do do attribution where we can leverage point of sale and actual transactional data that occurs in store. And the reason we don't yet model against television and other types of quote-unquote traditional media is we haven't yet been able to prove with our models that we can point to that transaction-driving element. And given our focus on commerce, that's outside of our DNA.
Okay, great. Mark, can you speak to the data challenges associated with being an omnichannel retailer? For example, managing data across channels to create a single profile of a customer. How can brands begin to overcome those challenges?
Well, they are big, and it's a great question. So we kind of look at those challenges in two macro buckets. The first is data challenges in terms of channel performance, and that takes us back to the attribution product. So you need attribution. We've made that point very clear in today's webinar. And we manage that through a variety of tools, some proprietary, some licensed, that enable us to track customer behavior on behalf of our clients across all these channels. But retailers themselves shouldn't, in our view, be going out and try to build their own attribution platform. And I would say it's one category where we don't see that happening because it's just too big of an ominous data challenge. In fact, the number of attribution products in the market compared to all the other channels is incredibly low. You can pretty much count them on one hand because unless you have a very low cost of technology delivery, things that only companies like eBay and others have, the big players in the market, it's too expensive. So first bucket, you need to be capturing that channel behavior data. And the second thing, again, takes us back to having a customer database or a marketing database of record and being able to capture data from multiple sources. Most companies are pretty good at having email databases. Most companies are pretty good at having customer databases. They start to run into challenges where they might have e-commerce customer data and in-store data where unless there's a loyalty program or some structural way of capturing data at the point of sale, that they already start to lose track of the in-store purchases. Some of that depends on what form of payment's being made, and some of that depends upon the rigor with which they manage the in-store shopping experience. But we're all accustomed to be asked our email address when we purchase something, and that's become more routine, but it doesn't solve for all the knowledge companies want. So what you need is a customer database, and we would argue you need something like our audience insights engine, which the industry refers to as a DMP. Because you have to be able to bring in disparate sources of data, have a way of creating what's called a global or single ID for that customer. And as you use varying forms of technology to understand the connections between these disparate sources of data, you are then able to all of a sudden connect the dots. And then the lights go off. And you say, oh, this customer was actually interacting with me in this channel and that channel. And at that point, you're incredibly fortunate because you start to learn things about customers. But these are not easy things to do, and so unless you choose the right technology partner, it's going to be very hard. And the one thing I discourage brands from doing is building it themselves because, frankly, companies such as ourselves and our competitors build this for multiple clients, and we learn a lot in doing that, and we probably are able to provide a better solution at a lower cost.
Okay. I think this is an interesting question. As a small business owner with limited funds and limited time, what is the number one most important thing to do if I was only to choose one thing? What is I
capture information about your customers. That might be getting their email address. If you're a small business owner in e-commerce, you're going to know the name and address of your customer. My great-great-grandfather had the general store in Carson City, Nevada in 1850. And he loaned money to a miner who then went and found gold and he struck it rich and moved to San Francisco. True story. But he was managing a general store and he was very successful at it. He opened a chain. And what I learned about my great-grandfather or great-great-grandfather from family memoirs is he always knew everything he needed to know about all his customers. He knew when their birthdays were. He knew who was getting married. He knew who was having children. He knew whose crops were doing well and not. And nothing's changed. We need to understand our customers. So if you're a small business owner, know your customer. There are excellent products in the market that are relatively inexpensive that help you organize even a small set of data. And then ask your customers how frequently they want to be contacted, through which channels. Do they want to get emails or not? Would they like a phone call when that new product that they might have been interested in comes in or not? And start to take advantage of that sacrosanct relationship between a brand and a customer. Everything else comes after that.
That's great advice. All right, I'm going to give you one last question. How can a marketing platform help us better analyze the massive amounts of data we collect? And can you give some real examples there?
Well, I would rephrase the question by saying, how can you do that without a marketing platform, if what the word platform means is a single place to bring all that data together? So you have email data, meaning you have email lists. You have response data from whether people do or don't click on emails. You have transaction data that shows what people actually purchased. We have browsing data that shows not necessarily what people purchased, but what they were clicking on. And then you have customer service data when people periodically call up either to ask a question, sometimes to complain, hopefully to get whatever complaints they may be making resolved. All those points of interaction have data associated with them. And to make sense of all that, you need what we like to call a platform. Other people refer to it as a suite. Other people refer to it as a hub. Let's not get caught up in the terminology. You need to bring it together. And I love to give an example, which may be interesting. And I'm out of a sense of proprietary and confidentiality. I'm not going to say the name of this very large retailer that we all know. It's a big box retailer that sells lots of products for the home, indoors and outdoors. And they have a program where people can subscribe to a weekly newsletter that they typically, in the past at least, receive Monday mornings. And it was a newsletter about gardening. And it even let the subscribers say, well, I'm more of a vegetable gardener, or I'm more of a floral and aesthetic gardener. And every Monday morning, you'd get this newsletter with information that was relevant to you because you signed up for it. And it would know where you lived, so it would understand if you're in a climate where you have to prepare for winter, or if you're still in Arizona where it feels like it's summer all year long, and so forth and so on. And that's great. And every week, that newsletter goes out. And that's a great way of providing useful content to your customers. But it's Sunday afternoon, and the refrigerator breaks. All of a sudden, the most important thing in that home is to get a new refrigerator. Because if the food goes bad, the kids won't eat, and the wife will then beat the husband. But all joking aside, it's no longer about gardening. And so Mr. Husband goes online and starts doing what any smart husband would do at that point, looking either to repair or replace the refrigerator. And the next morning, there's one of two possibilities that's going to happen. He or she, not to be sexist, is going to get the newsletter. Is it going to be all about gardening, as we've grown accustomed to on a weekly basis, or is there going to be a feature item saying, this week only, sales on refrigerators? Well, if you have a platform that can aggregate data, including browsing data, that shows that that afternoon this concerned homeowner was looking for refrigerators, and you can do that in real time or close to real time and update your content, you're going to provide a relevant message that next morning. But if you're just going to send out the regular gardening newsletter, regardless of how beautiful it might be, you're not going to sell anything because the kids are screaming and the refrigerator's not working. So if you don't have a platform, I don't know how you solve for that very common problem. You need to be knowing what your customers are interested in, and timeliness drives the relevancy factor, which is so critical to successful marketing in what is a crazy, complicated digital world.
Oh, I love that example. Good. Good way to end it strong there. I think we are just about out of time for today. On behalf of Retail Online Integration and eBay Enterprise, I want to thank you for attending today's webinar. Be sure and check out our webinar page to get all the information on our archived and upcoming webinars. And as I mentioned, this will be on demand for 90 days as well. Thanks so much, Mark, and I hope to see all of our viewers at the next ROI webinar.